I am so fascinated by the way the ancients thought about all of this. We're talking about the binary star with Lucas right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We're with Lucas. We'll take your phone calls this hour as well. They can't keep this a secret too long, Lucas.
No. No, there'll be a point in time where they can't keep it down anymore, that's for sure.
And then what? How do they tell us when the time comes?
Well, this is my own personal conjecture, but I predict that there'll be some sort of announcement, some sort of lottery based upon genetics, intelligence, race, all those sort of things, and that'll pretty much be how it goes down. I think that that's what the whole Denver airport is for. The Denver airport can pump 1,000 gallons of fuel per minute. Okay, so obviously they're setting that up for some sort of mass transit of some sort. So I think that they'll probably, like in the movie Deep Impact, they'll probably do some sort of lottery system.
But they will have selected people already picked as well, right?
Yeah, scientists, you know, things like that.
The people they think they need to advance the future of mankind.
Exactly. They already have pretty much all those people indexed. They have all these government programs to basically determine who is who are geniuses, who are gifted mentally, and that sort of thing. And you see the race to get everybody's genes in a database. So they're preparing for this and getting ready for. They need to have a genetic diversity. And one thing that people need to realize too is the elites cannot survive without us. Okay, they can't run their machinery.
They don't want to do the work.
Exactly. They can't survive without a pool of millions and millions of people, so they need to save lots of people, too.
It's like the Anunnaki created us to dig for gold, they say.
Yeah. Yeah, I find that interesting because, you know, something I just noticed last year was that on the first page, the second page of the Bible, it says God tells Noah to go look for gold in the Phishon River because the gold is good there. And I always wondered, why is God telling Noah to look for gold? Where is he going to spend it? What's he going to do with it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, what is the Vatican doing with a couple telescopes, huh?
Well, yeah, a lot of stuff going on with the Vatican. They built that one down in Phoenix, or down in Arizona there, that, it's looking for this object here. The Vatican also closed down their library for the first time in over 500 years, for almost a year, so they could make so-called, you know, updates and changes to it and all that. So they're just most likely trying to preserve mankind's knowledge over to the next level.
All right, we'll take some calls here. We'll go to Elk Grove, California, west of the Rockies. Casey, it's your turn. Hi, Case.
Hey, George. Hey, Lucas.
Hey.
Hey, nobody seems to be touching on the Van Allen radiation belt shift that's going to happen along with the polar shift when we have all of this sun activity going on and the galactic alignment going on. Lucas had mentioned earlier about the swarm of earthquakes and things that tend to happen during the months of like January, February, December. Well, that happens to be when the Earth passes closest to the sun every year. Our orbit on the sun is elliptical, and the planet passes closest to the sun in January and starts to head outwards in February. And so you have the Earth starting to spring back like a rubber band after it's been squeezed by the sun's gravity for a while. So what do you guys think about having the Van Allen radiation belt like around the equator?
Well, me personally, I haven't done much research into that. There's just so many different facets of information here. It's near impossible to keep track of it all. And, you know, I'd love any kind of input that people have on that because I haven't just had the time. I'm already so swamped with things going on right now. It's impossible to research everything.
Why does this all seem to be happening now, Lucas? I mean, these are events that take 3,600 years, 600,000 years, yet it seems like it's happening to us now. Why us?
Well, we just happen to be the lucky ones, I guess. The way I look at it is...
We're the unlucky ones, huh?
Well, no, I don't look at it like that. I look at it as we were a generation that gets to see an event that hasn't happened in 3.6 millennia. You know, we've all got to go at some point in time. Would you rather go seeing something like this or in a hospital bed dying over the course of 6 months of cancer? You know, what is the, yeah, I just have to look at the bright, I try and look at the bright side of everything, and it's going to be what it's going to be.
Hey, Jack Benny was robbed once. It's a joke, of course. And the guy said, give me your money or your life. And Benny went, can I think about that for a moment?
That's right.
So I mean, that's a tough question. Do you want to die in a hospital bed, or do you want to go quickly?
Yeah, I mean, I most likely would. Like, for instance, an asteroid hit San Bruno, okay? Those people had no idea what happened. 1 minute they were there watching TV, the next minute they were gone. No pain, nothing like that. So
evaporated, basically.
Exactly. Same thing with, you know, that's an airworthy thing. An asteroid hit my hometown of Allentown, Pennsylvania, which is, you know, I'm from Easton, Pennsylvania, the home of Larry Holmes, and Allentown's only about 15 miles away, and I was shocked to find out that an asteroid actually hit and killed five people there in Allentown, left a big crater where the house used to be.
A little boy got nipped by a meteorite last week, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just put that up on the rabbithole2.com website. It was a kid got hit by a meteor traveling 30,000 miles an hour. And not only that, there was another guy last year at a baseball game that got hit by a meteor, too.
Tell me about the Earth's magnetic field. It's changing.
Oh, most definitely. It's I've been watching the magnetosphere. I can't really say the name of the site because it's Japanese and it's got a bunch of different characters to it, but they have satellites up there that monitor the magnetosphere, and it's going through some dramatic changes, that's for sure. And you know, we can tell that things are happening. Like, for instance, you know, we have all these birds and fish dying. Well, one story that really didn't make much mainstream news was the fact that, what was it, maybe about 6 or 7 days ago, there were kids in Louisiana that went out on a field trip, and all they did was they went from their school to the bus to the convention center to a restaurant, back to the bus, back to the school, and they all got sunburned in the middle of February.
All right, next up we go to Southfield, Michigan, east of the Rockies. Hi, Sherry.
Hi. Thank you so much. Three real short, quick questions. First, I didn't know if you meant that it's going to happen December 21st, 2012. Second, how long do we have to store for food and water or whatever? Third, my mother died December 21st, 2005, and right after that is when I found out about the date. I wondered if, you know, I've heard of people can hang on and die at a certain time. I wondered if she did that to give me a message.
Very well. There's so many things that we don't understand. We probably don't understand about 99% of all the things in the universe. So, you know, I can't even begin to imagine what happens when a person goes. You know, I'll tell you something really interesting that happened to me just recently. My cat died not long ago, and when he died, I was holding him when he died, and right at that moment he died, I knew that my mom was going to die, and I told my roommate, I said, my mom is going to die, and she died exactly 2 weeks to the hour later.
Oh, my God. Was she ill?
No, she fell and was immobilized for about 10 hours and developed pneumonia and then died on Friday, August the 13th last year.
Geez, sorry to hear that.
Well, we've all got to go, and I've learned to live with that and accept the fact that we can't live forever.
You think this warning of impending whatever is being leaked through movies and TV, radio?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've never been approached, Lucas. Nobody's ever said, George, this is happening. You need to talk about it. You need to let people, you know, get them comfortable with this, but don't be direct. No, nobody's ever done that yet.
Well, you got people like Chris Carter who have admitted that they subliminally put things in movies. They set clocks to demean certain things. I've got the video of him admitting that. You've got, what's the guy's name? He's a producer and a writer for Fox News. Somebody asked him, or not Fox News, but Fox Broadcasting Company, somebody asked him if, you know, the system was designed to mess with your mind, and he basically said the whole system is designed to mess with your mind. It's designed to keep you in line, to make you buy things, to keep you complacent, and so they admit it, you know, they do admit it.
Next hour, we'll take calls to say, here's the question. What would you do if you knew we were being hit by an asteroid? Would that change your life? Would you quit your job? What would you do? Next up, we go to Greg, truck driving in Iowa. Go ahead, Greg. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I quit.
All done, huh?
Yeah. Well, truck driving ain't all it's cracked up to be. I got a question. Why haven't physicists and mathematicians been warning about this, because obviously gravitational effect and radiation effects, that's all measurable stuff. So,
okay.
Go ahead, Lucas.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I don't think you're full of crap or nothing. But you know, this is, it's kind of the same old story with a different twist. You know.
Well, here's an example, Greg. Just recently, two astronomers said that they believe that this planet, let's call it a brown dwarf star, they've called it a planet, could be the same thing, is out there on the far edges of the solar system. Two major astronomers, we're working on getting them on the show. There are other astronomers who don't agree with their mathematics. They say this is not the case, there's nothing out there. And so there's this argument, this internal argument, even between science.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's how, you know, as long as you have government fund three different scientists with three different theories, nobody's ever going to get anything done. I mean, imagine, how can scientists tell you what the composition of a planet is that's 20 light years away orbiting a star, right, but yet they can't figure out what causes ice ages here on the planet Earth? That's because they don't want to figure it out.
And you're convinced we were visited before?
I'm pretty much convinced that there's something going on with that. I don't really get much into it, but on a personal level, I do believe that there's higher powers out there doing something.
Let's go to Manhattan, New York. Laura, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Laura.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call. You touched upon the idea of chemtrails having multiple purposes. And one of the things I've noticed, I monitor a lot of the different EarthCam websites, and I've noticed that there's some kind of spray paint in the chemtrails, and I believe that they're trying to hide a secondary source of light, sunlight, because if you look at them, you'll just see that these chemtrails will come and, you know, hide exactly half of the skyline, you know, on a weird diagonal, and you know, they're clearly only allowing us to see a certain portion of a light source. There is much more light than there should be. And I wanted to see if you, you know, let you know about that, or see if you, you know, had an experience, you know, looking at this sort of thing. Because, you know, to my eye, it just clearly seems that they're, you know, part of the chemtrails is to hide the secondary light source from us.
Well,
do you know anything about that?
Basically, the thing is with the brown dwarf star, it's not going to emit any light. It is so cold that it absorbs photons when they hit it, so it doesn't reflect the light back. And there is no, it doesn't have any luminosity of its own. So I don't think that they'd actually try and be hiding. What they're trying to do is absorb the radiation this thing puts off. The reason why it's so cold is because it radiates all of its heat, basically, and it, you're getting all these subatomic particles, protons and neutrons, that are bouncing around inside this brown dwarf star, and they get ejected out. And see, those things, that's what causes cancer. That's why cancer is up so high all across the world, because these things, they come right through your body and they break your DNA strands. Now, you go back 1,800 years ago when this brown dwarf star was all the way on the other side of the solar system. Guess what? The ancient texts used to talk about people live to be 100 to 200, 300 years old. It's because they didn't die of cancer. They weren't getting bombarded with subatomic particles.
Frank, San Bernardino, California, first-time caller. Frank, go ahead.
Hello, George. How are you?
Good.
Hey, hi, Lucas.
Hey.
Yeah, you know, I think everybody should take a telescope, and I do this sometimes. I have a small telescope, but you point it at the sun, and you put a filter on it every day when the side's bright, and you look at it, and you see this evil monster for what it really is. You can see it through a telescope. Anybody from your backyard, you look at it, and you see this. I think the sun is the most evil thing ever. It just doesn't care, man, you know?
Well, I don't know. Without it, we'd be in a deep problem.
Yeah. I think we kind of
well,
need
you know, I wanted to ask you a question.
Sure, go ahead.
If I may. Does this appearance of these new stars and the Betelgeuse blowing up and all that, does that change the equation from an astrotheological standpoint?
I didn't quite understand the last part of what you said.
Yes, does it change the astrotheological standpoint because the new stars in the sky, right? Seeing the new stars are going to come
well,
in.
Well, you know what? Astronomers told me that because Pluto is no longer a real planet, that it doesn't affect the astrological charts at all.
Well, that's another thing that almost proves that we are in a binary star system, and that is the precession of the equinoxes. That's been an unexplained phenomenon for 1,000 years. Why the zodiac signs move backwards across the sky. People in today's world, astrology is a means, you know, for people to predict the future and all that. But in the past, it wasn't that. It was a measure of timekeeping. We had different ages. They built the Sphinx back during the age of Leo when we were in that age. And then along the way, a pharaoh recarved its head down to a smaller size in his own liking. But then during the age of Taurus, we worshiped the golden bull. Then Moses came onto the scene. He cast out the golden bull. He blew the ram's horn and put the lamb's blood on the door. And then we entered the age of Aries. And then Jesus Christ brought us from the age of Aries into the two fish, the fisher of men. And then now we're coming into the age of Aquarius. It all fits together perfect.
Are there some direct telltale signs out there, Lucas, that would show us that this is happening?
Yeah, the sun rose 2 days early in Greenland. That should tell anybody that's like when you really sit and think about that, that's a major, major event for the sun to rise 2 days. The sun always rises for recorded history on January 23rd. The locals celebrate it. They have big parties. They're sick of spending all those months in the dark. And then this year, it really freaked everyone out when it rose on January 21st rather than the 23rd.
Next up, we go to Lexington, Kentucky. It's Jack's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Jack, thanks for calling.
Hey, George, thanks for having me on your show.
Sure.
You know, I was listening. I wanted to punch holes in your guest's story tonight.
All right. Punch away.
But I can't. I actually took an astronomy class last year at the University of Kentucky. I was, blessed enough to have an astronomer, an actual astronomer, and there's only about 8,000 in the world. And what your guest is saying is actually very true, what he's saying. And there was an observatory at the University of Kentucky. And I went and I was talking to another astronomer there, and I asked him, I said, well, what do you think about the Mayan calendar and what do you think about the predictions? And he said, I don't want to talk about it. He said, if it was out there and I saw it coming, what could I do? And there are other things here in Kentucky that have been going on. Not only do you have in Colorado the airport, but here in Kentucky you have a place called High Bridge Spring. And they've been mining this thing for 30, 40 years. And it's to my knowledge that the government right now is like they've mined this out. It's an underground solid limestone bluff, if you will, or mountain. And they've been going down in it for years. And now the government is like putting equipment in it as we speak. The other things that kind of like UHF and VHF, they've taken it away and they've given us just a digital signal. And the government is making moves. I believe if you look, anybody that's attuned to what's going on, there is something getting ready to happen.
Well, you may be right. Lucas may be right. And we'll talk more about that when we come back. And, of course, we're monitoring some earth tragedies tonight in New Zealand in the wee hours now there. 65 people dead from an earthquake that hit in Christchurch, New Zealand. And Arkansas continues to have hundreds of earthquakes there. Who knows what's happening? Maybe it is the brown dwarf star. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. So as you look at all of this, Lucas, are you concerned about it for your own future?
Well, I would like to be able to move up to the hills. It's kind of a monetary issue right now, but I wouldn't mind surviving. But I guess it is going to be what it is. I wanted to bring up that I noticed with your bumper music, we have a lot of the same taste in music. But what you asked me before about whether stuff was leaking out and getting out to the public. And a lot of things I don't think are the powers that be. I think a lot of things are people figuring it out. Like, for instance, a lot of bands seem to be understanding of what's going on. Soundgarden, Godsmack. Look at the Black Hole Sun by Soundgarden. Half of the songs they do are about this event. And all these guys are friends. Rage Against the Machine, Tool. All these guys know each other, and they all are preparing in the mountains. So, I mean, it's they seem to be in the know. I guess you get four guys sitting around trying to come up with lyrics for a song and trying to think about deep subjects, and they start researching stuff. They just happen to have millions of dollars at their disposal, and then they start to figure things out.
Years ago, people would talk about Planet X, but they were wrong in their dates. You know, it was supposed to be May of 2008. It never showed up. And all of a sudden, you know, because of that, because you're wrong in your dates, people think, you know, you're whacked out or they're wrong. But you know what? Maybe they were just wrong with their dates.
Yeah. Remember 2003, they thought that it was going to happen. But then in 2003 is also when that neat comet went around the sun. And that thing right there, there was a definite NASA cover-up on that NEAT comet. If you go to NASA, if you go to Google News and type in NEAT comet or type in its actual name, C2002V-1, you will pull up zero news stories on the biggest comet ever discovered. And they, for some reason, they covered that whole NEAT comet thing up.
All right, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Lynn in Santa Clara, California, west of the Rockies. Lynn, how are you?
Hi. This is very interesting, but I had a question about how he has his information about the preparations that they are supposedly doing, that they are gathered the best and the brightest and geniuses and scientists, and everything's well thought out, and it's going to be quite just and fair, because I haven't really seen that on behalf of the government.
I don't think it'll be just and fair. I don't think he said that.
Well, no, you remember at the beginning of that, I told you it was just my conjecture that that's what I think is going to happen. Just based upon how humans react to things and based upon the fact that they know, the elites know that they can't survive without a population of people to run their machines and build their cars and run the factories. So they're going to need people, and they're not going to want a bunch of slackers. They're going to want people that are going to be, you know, doers.
Well, how many people do you think they can actually support in these underground bunkers?
Goodness, I wish I had access to
think,
these.
No, it couldn't be that many.
You know,
1,000 here, 1,000 there?
Well, I think that they've probably built several. Now, there's been reports that that whole, you know, that whole phenomenon called the Taos Hum? Okay, a lot of people believe that that is the elites with their tunnel diggers underneath the ground, and that's what's causing that that humming sound that causes people distress. So they might have been they are still working on the Denver airport. 18 years later, they're still working on that thing. Like, you can go 5 miles away from the airport, and there's land sectioned off that says property of Denver International. First of all, it's called the Denver New World Airport. And, you know, they have 5 miles away. They're building underground tunnels.
I remember when I was flying on American years ago, and when you land, they went, "Thanks for flying the New World Alliance." You know?
Yeah. It's called the New World Order because it's not for this world. It's for the New World.
So I always wanted to write a movie script where astronauts aboard the International Space Station witness the planet getting hit by an asteroid, which was an Earth killer, and they're stuck. They have no place to go.
Wow, that's weird. Yeah. That would be what would you do if you're stuck up there and you can't get back down?
And then eventually you'll die because the supplies will fall.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I mean, there's so many different tales of malarkey, I like to call them, out there, like Easter Island. These guys just went out there and just put up all these stone heads just for the fun of it and then just decided to stop one day, and that was why they did it. I mean, people do giant monoliths like that for a reason, especially like the spirals, the spiral petroglyphs everywhere. They didn't – back then people had to spend their time, you know, gathering food. You know, there wasn't no time to sit there and carve these deep spirals into granite like that unless they all saw something globally and it affected their lives.
All right, St. Louis we go, east of the Rockies. Michael, take it away.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Michael.
You know, speaking of just what you were talking on with the censorship issue with Yellowstone, it's ironic that I got on tonight because myself and a few other YouTubers have been covering this whole USGS censorship thing, and it goes a lot deeper than just Yellowstone. Apparently they've turned off several satellites in the past week or so. Stereo ahead, stereo behind, SDOs one day behind. So really, what I wanted to say was it's important what you're doing right now. Also, it's important that everyone who's listening, don't panic. Okay, you need to prove everybody wrong here that we're actually civilized people. And really, I urge you to go look this stuff up. Everything he has told you so far is exactly 100% true to the underground weather community on YouTube, all right? And there is an underground weather community on YouTube. And we're covering this stuff. And there's an active disinformation campaign going on where, like, I got my coordinates for my house posted today online. And then I'm going to, you know, talk about that tomorrow on YouTube. But they're coming on. They're really trying to get everybody to not believe that there's something happening. So I found a site that's actually covering the Yellowstone quake right now. I mean, if you go on to USGS, it's all deleted, okay? Like any earthquake that's showing up on USGS is like 1, 2, 3 days old. No current earthquakes show up there. And they're censoring them off for a reason. And so the site that I found is, I mean, that this is not some plug for me. This is a scientist that lives up there, and he monitors all the stuff himself, kind of like, I guess, like your Woody Harrelson in 2012, the movie or something. But it's called isthisthingon.org. And he's just some Joe up there that's monitoring it himself. And you can just go on and look at it, and you can see USGS is bumping these off as soon as they're popping on.
Yeah, it's like I equate it to a bathtub of hot water. You know, when you fill up the bathtub and the hot water's really hot and you step in it and you've got to slowly ease your way into it. You can't just jump in that bathtub because it's going to burn the living daylights out of you. So that's what's happening now. They have to slowly ease this information into the public mindset. The reason why people like me are alive today is because obviously somebody wants me alive, because the powers that be have enough you know, capital and power to snuff any person on this planet out. They did Kennedy in broad daylight. So, you know, there's a reason, and they want people with the mindset to be able to start preparing, so that way that everybody's not all rushing out at the last minute.
But they will.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there will be lots. There will be those people that, you know, the ones that rush home from work to watch American Idol. It'll be those people.
Let's go to Cheryl in Phoenix. Hey, Cheryl, welcome to the program.
Hi, George. Hi, Lucas. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thanks.
Hey, I wanted to mention, nobody's ever touched base on this, the fact that a lot of people out there are having dreams about this thing happening. We also see the floods, the earthquakes. Well, starting in August of 2007, I had three dreams about this star coming, you know, whatever it is. I didn't know if it was a comet or a star or whatever. And I drew a picture of what I saw. And it comes on a curved approach, you know, diagonally on a curved approach light. But that's not the only thing. There's a guy that was online for a while named Kato Mibuli. He had this thing that was called the Wormwood Star Vision, and people made him out to be a kook, and he's erased a lot of his stuff. You have to really dig to find it. But Kato described this star that he saw coming. He described the time, how people were doing things like, you know, just watching the movies from Blockbuster or sitting at football stadiums or, you know, watching games or whatever, and the baseball games. And he said that he was shown this by an angel who took him to a specific place where they could have, it was like technologically set up where they could see around the world what was happening. And he said that the angel said to him, and this dream now, watch this, is from June of 2005. He said that the angel told him the date for Wormwood was set back, meaning it was going to come in at a longer date, you know. Now, 2005, when did the angel tell him? It was set back, and he said there was the number 7. He seems to think it was coming in September or October, but look at what it is. 2005 plus 7 years, what do you get? That's 2012, okay? A lot of people are having these dreams. I meet people on buses on my way to work, and I don't know why. They just come up to me and they say, you know, you look, well, I'm a Christian. I believe in God and Jesus. Now, a lot of us are getting these dreams, and we're talking and meeting up with each other, and I think that God is trying to warn us, because I was warned to keep a dream journal since way back in 1994, and I have. I don't have all the dream journals that I kept. I've lost some of them, but in those dreams, God kept telling me, store up food, canned goods, water. And I've been trying to tell people ever since then, and of course, you know, they look at me like I'm a kook. But now with the economy how it is, the earthquakes, the birds are dropping.
Oh, yeah. They don't look at you as a kook anymore, Cheryl, at all. How about you, Lucas? Do you get attacked at all or?
No.
Nothing like that?
No, actually, it's been an, well, at first, okay, this is what happened to me. At first, when, in my DVD, I was telling people to go to Denver, and when I stopped doing that, they stopped the pressure. They put on a lot of pressure at first. They hacked my bank account, my identity, they hacked my roommate's bank account, my computers, my website, everything. And, when I stopped telling people to go to the Denver area is when the pressure just stopped instantly. I mean, it was like a faucet being shut off, and I have had no fear of anything. In fact, I get next to zero resistance about any of this stuff because it all makes sense. And what she was talking about the dreams, I think the human mind is really an incredible thing, and I think a lot of these dreams might be people's subconscious mind figuring it out, all the stuff they see in the media, the TV, the History Channel, and all that. Like, for instance, I shoot pool, and I'm pretty good at it. And the reason why I'm good at pool is because when I go up to the pool table and make a shot, I shoot really fast. I go by what my subconscious brain figures out at the pool table. If I sit there and think about the shot, I'll miss most of the time. So your subconscious brain is an incredible thing and can figure out things that your conscious brain just can't do.
Are you a pool shark?
No, I used to, when I was in my early 20s, I used to play for drinks a lot, but no, never really sharked anybody.
You didn't hustle anybody, huh?
Nah, not my gig. It's more fun just keeping the table all night long.
Let's go next to Maui in Hawaii, west of the Rockies, way west. Hi, Terry.
Hello, George, long-time listener.
Thank you.
Your guest, one thing he said is that people back then didn't have time to carve these spirals and things. He should read a book called Stone Age Economics by Salkin, who studied Bushmen and Aboriginals living traditional lifestyles. And basically, they only had to work 2 hours a day to meet food, clothing, and shelter. So,
well, there was some reason why all these people, if you go onto the Rabbit Hole 2 website, and up on the top part, there's a link that says research. Go in there and look at all the spiral petroglyphs and look where they're located. And for those people to all carve that same thing into the rock means that they must have seen something in space that, I mean, the thing looks just like the Norway spiral. And there are very many spirals associated with devil figures. And, I mean, it's phenomenal. There's just hundreds and hundreds of spirals and all these devil figures associated with them.
Okay, next up, let's go to Mike in Sierra Vista, Arizona. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I discovered your show with a bad case of insomnia.
Well, perfect.
But I had a theory about the Mayan calendar. The way I was thinking, they were working on the calendar, and they got up to December 21st to 2012, and that's when the conquistadors showed up. So they just dropped everything and left.
And left and ran, headed for the hills.
Yeah. But, you know, I used to think that with all this political stuff going on in the Mideast and all these natural things that are happening, I really think something's up.
I do, too. I mean, there's no question about it.
And if you read the Bible, are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, if you read in your Bible where Jesus speaks of the future, everything just seems to be, you know, falling in place.
Oh, yeah. It all fits. I mean, the whole thing fits like a gigantic jigsaw puzzle. It's just the pieces were scattered out before so much that it was hard. You know, before the Internet, we would have to go from library to library to library to figure all this stuff out. And now that the Internet's there, it's much more easy for people to kind of put two and two together and find out what's really happening.
So, Lucas, let me ask you this. How do we know government hasn't said, Lucas, we need to get the word out, but we can't say it? People will go crazy. We need someone like you. We need someone like you to set up a website, to go on programs like Coast to Coast, and tell them about this brown dwarf. Tell them what could happen. How do we know they haven't done that with you?
Well, I haven't been contacted personally. For one, I live in a one-bedroom apartment and drive a van from 1989, so I guess that kind of...
You're under the radar.
Kind of explains that, but I think that, you know, they're just going to allow things like this to happen because they want, at least certain factions want this information coming out. Believe me, there are certain factions that want to keep this completely silent and want to try and reign supreme afterwards. And they're the ones that aren't very nice and the ones that hack your computers and all that. But, you know, they've definitely got they've got a grasp on the system. Much more than most people can even comprehend how deep it really goes.
First-time caller, we've got Reuben in Lynn, Michigan. Hey, Reuben, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
George? Hey, first time that I got a hold of you, man.
Perfect.
This show has been freaking me out since I've found you a couple years ago. I used to print the Ann Arbor News.
Oh,
I used to tell everybody. Yeah, I used to
read the Ann Arbor News.
Yeah, I used to work there, brother. I know. You know, I used to... talk about this stuff that I used to hear on your show about these guys. They used to just laugh me out of the, you know, the building. You know, I used to go out on break and listen to your show. And a lot of interesting things that you guys have on there. But, you know, I got one thing to ask about the floods and threats of floods. You know, even in the Bible, Jesus made a covenant. God made a covenant. And the rainbow was part of the covenant that he would never flood the world again and kill multiple people. And it just kind of makes me think that that's all thrown out the window now that I'm hearing all kinds of stuff.
I know it.
Stuff,
it
you know,
makes you wonder, doesn't it?
I'm telling you.
Well, here's an interesting thing. Have you ever heard of the secrets of Fatima or Fatima, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Well, basically, there was an interview. I believe it was with Pope John Paul, and they asked him about that third secret, and he made some sort of comment along the lines of, if we were to know about a global flood, would it be in humanity's best interest to tell the public? So they kind of admitted that that's what that was about in that little interview.
You know, and I come from the world of communications, Lucas. I come from the world of you let people know, let them put their lives together, let them plan ahead and do what they're going to do. You don't suppress it. You don't hide it. Now, obviously, if an asteroid is going to hit you tomorrow morning, you have one day to prepare for your life. I wonder what that would be, Lucas.
Oh, boy. I think it would be, if the whole world knew it, it would be bad. It would be, there'd be a lot of bad things going on. You know, there'd be a lot of people praying, you know, a lot of people, there'd be a lot of suicides. There'd be a lot of rape and murder and that sort of thing. But, you know, there'd be a lot of people that would prepare. And it's really kind of such a complex thing to even think
about.
What a
planet, Lucas, but it sounds like we're living in that environment now. I'll be back in a moment with a special open line on Coast to Coast AM tied into what you've heard tonight.